I want you to pull out your Bibles, open up to Romans chapter 8. We're going to be here again this week on this theme, this annual theme of kingdom come. We're talking about the kingdom of God that surpasses all other kingdoms. It surpasses it in power, it surpasses it in scope, and it surpasses every kingdom on the earth, because every kingdom on the earth has a deadline of death, right? Everyone will expire except for one, and that's the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kings and presidents come and go, nations rise and fall, but there is one God who lasts forever, and we're invited into his kingdom to become his children. Can you say amen? Praise God. Right, so we've been talking about this as an annual theme, and this month in particular, we're talking about when the church shows up at our best, when we're at our best. This is what we behave like. When the church is at our best, this is what we think. This is what we do. This is how we live our lives. When we're at our best, today we're going to talk about being led by the Holy Spirit. When we're at our best, we are led by the Holy Spirit. And so let's pray, and we'll get into this a little bit more. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for every person who is here, who is online, or is just participating in some way right now. As we just bow our heads and our hearts before you, God, open up our hearts and minds to you and your scripture. Lord, speak to us through your Holy Spirit and allow us to hear your voice today in meaningful ways that changes our lives. And we love you, Lord. I ask for your help in delivering this message, and that every ear be open to hear it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So praise the Lord. So just as I was thinking about this, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and being led of the Holy Spirit, and this series in particular has been mostly geared toward and structured towards helping Christians think through things. So this is in particular something that is most applicable to Christians. If you're not a Christian, please don't tune out. If you're investigating, looking at things, I just want you to get an inside view on what it is like to be a Christian. As Pastor Jim mentioned earlier, it's a great life. It's not boring. It's very exciting. Sometimes it's too exciting, but that's okay. Amen? So we are led of the Holy Spirit. Now, most all of us would initially recognize that as we know him through the scriptures, that God is a Trinitary, is Trinity, that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And maybe we have in our minds symbols or representations or ideas of who the Father is, and we all have representation and pictures in our minds of who Jesus is because of all the paintings and pictures and all of it, none of it being actually Jesus, but paintings of Jesus. We have a mental reference for Jesus, but how many of us kind of trail off when we start thinking towards the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, what is the Spirit? We can't see him, we can't touch him. How do we wrap our minds around the Holy Spirit? But that might be difficult, but here's where this gets very, very practical, and this is it. If you have ever felt convicted of sin, if you have ever read the scripture and said, my goodness, that makes sense to me, if you have ever desired to reconcile with God, to have a relationship with God, if you have ever been prompted by God to go apologize to somebody, reconcile with somebody, tell somebody about Jesus, then you have already heard a message of the Holy Spirit. If you have made sense of Scripture, if you've been prompted to reconcile with God, the Holy Spirit has already been in communication with you. You have already heard his voice and responded to that voice, and he's active in your life. And so you might not have a mental image of the Holy Spirit, but it is the Holy Spirit through which you have relationship with God. Many people would say this, and I would say this too, that there's a lot of religions in the world, but there's only one way to have a relationship with God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that relationship is fostered and cared for and communicated through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said when he, before he ascended back into heaven, he says, I'm going away, but I'm going to send the Spirit. If I don't go, the Spirit won't come. It's good for you that I go away, because if I do go away, the Holy Spirit will come, and this Holy Spirit will teach you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. The Holy Spirit will direct you. The Holy Spirit will help you pray. And so the Holy Spirit is, if you will, the interface between God and man. That's how we hear God, is through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the mediator. Jesus is the one who gave his life for us. But the one who convinces us of that is the Holy Spirit. Can you say yes? Right? So that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the one that we speak to that prompts us. And so in Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to give you a lot of verses today. Probably you need to write them down and go deeper in them each in greater context this week in your studies. But in Romans chapter 8, verses 13 through 15, this is what the scripture says. It says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, here is this juxtaposition between living by the flesh and living by the Spirit. And if you'll notice, that Spirit is capitalized. There's talking about the Holy Spirit. If we live our own life out of our own flesh and our own ideas and our own power and our own authority, he says you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And verse 14 is really the key verse that I want us to pick up on. He says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, which is this personal reference of God as our father, as our daddy, that we have been adopted into his family. That's the Spirit's work in our lives. But the focus here is verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Now, I'd mentioned about how there are many religions in the world, but only one way to have a relationship with God. There are many religions in the world that tout all of these practices and tricks and ways to live and ways to just to try to please God. You got to count beads and do different things and all kind of asceticism and harsh treatment of the body to please God, to have some way to get to God. But the scripture tells us that none of that actually works. But what does work is being led by the Spirit of God. So having a relationship with God is not about your techniques. It is about your relationship. And it's by the Holy Spirit that we have that relationship and that we are led by that Spirit of God. And so we're going to talk about being led of the Spirit today. Now, I know that stereotypically, and we start talking about stereotypes, that kind of gets you in trouble these days, but stereotypically, men are supposed to have a great sense of direction. Either that or we're supposed to be really stubborn and not ask for directions. And women are supposed to just get into their cars and just like not know where they're supposed to go or something. Right? Our relationship between Tina and me, ours is the exact opposite. She's the navigator. She grew up a truck driver's daughter. She grew up with maps and counting road marks and all of that. And I grew up just like wandering through life. I get into a car and I'm just waiting for my wife to give me instructions on how to drive and where to go. And I'm not being sarcastic. It's true. I have almost no sense of direction. The advent of the GPS and the cell phone navigation is the only way I get anywhere in life. It's so true. And so I want us to think about this, being led by the Holy Spirit in our lives, that he knows where we are going. And he doesn't just write down directions. Like I stopped sometimes before navigation, I would ask someone for directions and they would give me a couple of things to look out for and turns to make. And I would try and write those things down because I wouldn't remember them. And I would go and try and follow those directions. How many of you remember the days going back to MapQuest where you could go online and print out directions somewhere? I mean, that's dating myself. So the scriptures are not just a roadmap to life, which they are, but there's not just written instructions on how to live and how to do this and to do that and all these tips and tricks. We also have the Holy Spirit who is active living in our lives to take the scriptures and help us to navigate. He's someone who comes alongside of us and leads us and directs us and never lets go of us. In fact, that term there, being led by the Spirit, that word led is literally, it's not being sent, it's being led. I'm going with you. I'm attaching myself to you. Now, how many of you of us have ever gone into a large department store and you ask someone for directions? Where do I find this stainless steel 16 gauge, you know, whatever? And I go in and they're like, oh, I'll show you. I don't want you to show me. Just point. Anybody else with me? Like, you can just, what aisle am I? Oh, I'll just take you. That might be frustrating in a department store. Maybe you're the one who wants them to come with you. But this, I need that directions, that level of instruction, that level of the Holy Spirit coming alongside of me in my life. And that's what the image here is of, not just getting instruction, but having him take you, accompanying you into that place. One of the definitions of that led is to lead with oneself, attached to oneself as an attendant. We do this with our, if you've ever raised kids, and little kids in particular, you just grab them by the back of the neck a little bit, right? Here, this is where we're going. This is where we're going. No, stay here. And we direct our kids because we want to keep them safe. We know what's out there that they need to avoid, and that's our job when kids are small. And that's the Holy Spirit's job in our life, to help us navigate life and never leave us. I hope that sounds useful to you, because it does to me, because I said I get lost easily. And you might have a great sense of direction when it comes to getting in your car and driving, but I tell you what, navigating through life should not be done haphazardly. And the Spirit is the one who leads us. So I want us to think about the Spirit leading us in two directions today. First main point I want to make is this: the Spirit leads us in and the Spirit leads us out. Couldn't get any more simple than basic than that. The Spirit leads us in and the Spirit leads us out. I want us to think about this in these terms, that sometimes the Spirit leads us inwardly into private times, and sometimes the Spirit leads us out into public. The Spirit leads us in to do certain things, and he leads us out to do other things. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, it tells us, he's speaking about King David in this passage, and King David was, this was before he was king, but talking about David in chapter 18, but all Israel and Judah loved David, it says, for he went out and came in before them. He went out and came in before them. What in the world is he talking about? And then when David's reign was through, his son Solomon came into power, and it tells us here in 1 Kings chapter 3, this is right in the transition period when before Solomon had any experience, before he was king, before he had to do anything official as the king, he is praying to God, and he says, Lord, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out and come in. So obviously Solomon also had a pretty rough sense of direction, right? I don't even know how to go out, and I don't know how to come in. Well, what this is really referencing is the king's ability necessity to lead the people out in battle and then to bring them back in peace. To lead them out in battle and to bring them in peace. And David did this extremely well. He was a great victorious warrior and led the people out in great battle and in great conquest and in great victory. And then he would also lead the people back in. And there's this two parts of our lives, this inward part and the outward part, where we need to come in peace, and the Spirit will lead us in, but the Spirit also will lead us out in battle. So the first one, let's talk about this. The Spirit will lead us in for private development. For private development. In the last couple of weeks in this series, we've been talking about Moses, we've talked about Joshua, we've talked about David, and all of those guys we talked about in this way, that they sought God, that they wanted to be in the presence of God, that Moses would go in the tent of meeting and be with the Lord. And when we looked at those verses that talked about Joshua being with Moses and how Moses would sometimes, he would go in and meet with the Lord and talk with the Lord, and then he would go out and to lead the people, but Joshua wanted to stay in with the Lord. And then we read last week about David, how God gave him these incredible, great promises, and in response to that, David went in and sat before the Lord, and how he went in to have that private conversation and devotion and prayer with the Lord, and they were led into that presence of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit will lead us in to this private devotion time with the Lord. Just you and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to open up the Scriptures, and the Holy Spirit to speak to you and deal with things in your life and instruct you and encourage you and build you up. Some things built up, some things torn down and removed. That's what happens on the inside, the private time for personal development. It's where the renewing of the mind happens. It's where our personal battles with sin and our identity and how we think about ourselves and think about others and how we are in the world. God deals with us in that personal inward time that we spend with Him. And as we sit with the Lord and be with the Lord and open ourselves for the instruction of the Holy Spirit, He works on us. In Hebrews chapter 4, this is speaking about the Word of God. So we have these two. We have the Word and we have the Spirit. And those two work together in our lives in these private times. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, the Word of God is quick, meaning it is alive, it's active, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, that's incredible. The imagery, the picture that brings up, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, which is a two-edged sword. What does it do? It cuts coming and going, right? And that this picture of this might be rather intimidating. Like, if I'm going to open up the Scripture, is the Scripture going to cut me? Well, let me tell you, the Scripture is not going to cut you indiscriminately, isn't going to attack you, but what it will do is perform surgery on you. With the Word of God and the quickness of and the living engagement of the Holy Spirit, He will speak to you and direct you in your private devotion with Him, and He will build you up. And I think of it this way. How many of you know that they've started operating on people with robotic arms and instruments? You know this? This is amazing to me. Like, there's still a doctor on the other side, but if you've seen pictures of these robotic operation machines, there's like all these arms, and they're able to come into your body with the smallest decisions and just take care of the thing that needs taken care of and come back out with incredible accuracy. Recovery times are dropped, as you know, in comparison to opening you up and taking out a tumor or a cancer or something in that nature, but is able to do that with incredible precision and very little damage to other adjacent tissues in your body. I think of the Scripture that way. Under the direction of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God is able to cut away that thing which is killing you, that wants to destroy you, that's diseased in you and is broken and damaging you. He's able to cut that away, and the Holy Spirit does that. And so we have this incredible relationship with God where He is able to speak to us, work on us, and heal us by His power. Even to the dividing, it says there, even to the dividing of soul and spirit. That is incredible, because I don't even know where my soul and my spirit intersect. But the Spirit does. The Spirit does. It's awesome. So the Spirit will lead us in private development, but the Spirit will also lead us out for public proclamation. Public proclamation. How many of you are familiar with some of the Bible verses that talk, even in the New Testament, in terms of fighting and war, right? That the Christians, that we're in this battle with evil, that we have weapons that are not carnal but are powerful, and that we wrestle not with flesh and blood. And there's a lot of this language in the New Testament of our battle and our fight against the things of the enemy. And we are to stand against the enemy. We've talked about and read those passages in previous weeks. But this proclamation is this engagement, the battle line of engagement with the enemy's territory. And as we are in the army of God, how we go out and live out our private life, our private faith publicly. We need both. The Holy Spirit's going to lead us in, but the Holy Spirit is also going to lead us out. In fact, if we don't have one or the other of these, we don't have a full relationship with the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit is going to lead us in and the Holy Spirit will lead us out. And we've been talking about King David, and one of the stories, if you're familiar with David, you probably know that he was an incredible king. God declared over David that he was a man after God's own heart and very chosen. And we talked last week about how God promised him to always have a king on the throne, and that king would come from his descendants. And we talked about how that ultimate fulfillment of that promise and prophecy was Jesus and his eternal kingdom. We talked about all that. But you might also know that King David had an incredible moral failure. And it tells us that the time of his failure, which was adultery, and then subsequently to cover up that adultery, was murder. And so David had this incredible moral failure, and the timing of that failure was when David was supposed to have taken his army out, but he stayed in. He sent the army out, but he did not go. He stayed back. And it was in that environment where he fell. We need to do both, come in with the Holy Spirit and go out with the Holy Spirit to live this led by the Spirit life. Here's what Jesus says about hearing in the inside, in the private times, and going out to proclaim in public. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 27, he says this: "What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops." And then in John 16, verse 13, tells us this: how do we hear? How do we spend this quiet time with God? He says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." So think of it this way: the Son, Jesus, tells the Spirit, and the Spirit comes and tells us. He says, "What you hear in the dark, what you hear whispered in the dark private times, that's what you go and proclaim." And the rooftops in the public times. The public times come after the private times. We listen in private, but we speak in public. Let me say that again. We listen in private, but we speak in public what we've heard. Luke chapter 4, verse 17 and 9 through 19 is this. This is what Jesus comes to proclaim, right? He's going to send us to proclaim. And so what do we proclaim? Before I take you to Luke, let me go back here and just kind of fill in a little bit here. Because you might hear when Jesus says, "What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. Whatever you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops." He's not talking about spreading gossip. Right? He's not talking about, "Ooh, what you hear your friend, what you see on Facebook, whatever, you know, whatever this little whisper, this gossiping thing, spread that around. We know that's not true, what he's talking about here. What he is talking about is here, what I encourage you with and correct you with and what I say to you and by the Spirit of God, that's what you go out and you proclaim it. And this is what Jesus, the message Jesus came to proclaim in Luke chapter 4, verse 17, is the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus speaking in claiming the prophecy of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. How many of you know we need the Lord's favor? In fact, if 2021, if our prayer is this, it'd be the year of the Lord's favor. That would be awesome. In two ways. The Lord's favor is just the Lord's blessing in our lives. As we live our lives, as we minister to people and talk with people and love on people, and as Paul would ask, hey, you know, pray that doors be open to me and all of that. And we have that, need that favor of the Lord in our lives. But the year of the Lord's favor is a specific event, and that's his return. I'll take either this year in 2021. Amen? Like, if he's not coming back this year, I need his favor in ministry. I need his favor in life. I need his favor in my family. I need his favor in ministry, right? Like, we're praying for his favor for this Saturday. Lord, bless this event. Show your love through us as a church. Help, you know, help all those the gears work to get us where we, the food when we need it, and the people are there, and the word gets out, and all of that. You know, Lord, we need your favor to make all that work, and beyond this event, what other things can we do as Christians at our best in this world? 30 years favor. But that's what he went to proclaim, and those are the types of things that we should also be proclaiming. Think of it this way. We get dressed in private so that we can stand in public. No, I just mentioned there that what we hear in private, we listen in private so that we can speak in public, but we get dressed in private so that we can stand in public. And last week we talked about the armor of God, right? So to put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6, we'll read verses 11 and 12, but that whole section is powerful. Study that out. It says, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, I'm going to get you really prepared to go out and be proclaimers of God's truth, because that's what the Holy Spirit wants us to be ready for. But we need a new mindset if we're going to do that. We're going to have to see the way the world is accurately. There's a lot of work that needs done in our hearts before we go out and do that. One of my favorite shows, and I've been obsessing about it, I've been watching them, like I watch one a night, the show called Grand Designs. Anybody ever see the show Grand Designs? Probably not, it's okay. I watch them on YouTube, but there's one from New Zealand, and what this is you know, these people who decide they're going to build this great house. Everyone, they got this great dream to build this house, and so the host of the show is like, well, okay, here's what's your design, who's going to do it, how much is it going to cost, what's your budget, you know, what's your time frame, and everybody's, you know, they give the sum of money that this is what we've got, this is what we're going to spend, this is our budget, okay, so how long is it going to take, I think we can be in by Christmas, I think we can build a house by Christmas, we can do it in 6 months, 8 months. And the whole show is all about everything that can go wrong when you build a house. And so they're like, we're going to spend $300,000 and we're going to be in 8 months. 5 years later, they spent $3.5 million. You know, that's kind of how the show goes. They were like all excited in the beginning. This is our dream. And the end, we're like, it almost killed us. We'll never do it again. More money, more time, more stress than ever. But one of the things that really gets people in most of these shows is how much work it takes before you even see what's happening. It's what's called the groundwork, even before you get out of the ground. And this, in this one here in New Zealand, they've got some weird soils in New Zealand, a lot of clay soil and a lot of sandy soil. And so a lot of these shows, they're drilling deep holes and filling these deep pylons down into the earth. One house that they built had 100 pylons drilled down through the clay to anchor the house to the ground so it wouldn't fall off a hillside or whatever. But the work below the surface is what's built up before. It's built up in the private time with the Lord so that we can stand in the evil day, when we can stand against the schemes of the enemy. And one of the things that we can immediately see in our world today is how easy it is to go out and start fighting and arguing and pointing fingers and saying, you know, this group and that group, and it's the destruction of this and it's the tear down of that, and if we could just do this and just do that, and we're fighting, honestly, we're fighting with words, but really it's hand-to-hand combat. It's human-to-human arguing, human-to-human fighting, and it's tearing our country and our world apart. But the Scripture tells us something very different about our current realities on this planet. Let me go on. I read to you verse 11, Ephesians 6, 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. But listen, here's verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. What we are doing in this world as we prepare in private to go out in public is to realize that we are not fighting against human beings. We're trying to rescue human beings. We're not trying to tear down people. We're trying to combat ideas. We're trying to combat the spiritual forces behind those ideas. That even when we have someone who, man, I hear you say, Pastor, this person's not my enemy, but they sure act like my enemy. They sure sound like my enemy. They're still trying to hurt me like an enemy would. But we have to get that point in private when we realize that that person who might come against us or that group that would be coming against and trying to harm us are people who need delivered, not people who need destroyed. And that will change how we pray, and that will change how we act, and that will change how we think about others in this world. Is that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But if we don't spend that time in private getting to the place where we love our brothers, then we will go out and we will fight a battle flesh to flesh, which is not a battle we should ever fight. Because it's a battle you never win. Which takes me back to how Jesus fought this battle. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Because here's another bottom line statement. I'll finish with this, and worship team, you guys can come back. I've kind of run over my time slot here. But what gets built in private will be tested in public. What gets built in private will be tested in public. So you can go into your private time with the Lord, and he can help you walk through forgiving people and loving people and praying for your enemies. And then you go out, like you can get your head on straight and go out, and the first thing that happens, you're ready to start swinging physically, verbally. That's going to be tested. How well can you love people? We just came through a foundations class. Jessica Johns has been teaching us about the Constitution and the Declaration and all of that. In this last session, we talked about a modern document of from Martin Luther King Jr. in the letter of from Birmingham Jail. And in that, he talks about how in their peaceful protests for desegregation, that they trained and committed each other to nonviolence, and they read each other and talked about when the moment comes when someone's beating you, are you willing to remain nonviolent? Let me tell you, that's when a really test comes. You can say, yeah, that's going to be the way it should be. But when you get out on the street and things go sideways, how much will you stand by those commitments? And we're going to need the Holy Spirit's power to do it. To remain loving, to remain on task, is going to be tested. What's built in private will be tested in public. Let me close with this. And is there any bigger struggle that we face right now? I don't know. I don't think so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, as we join together, Lord God, help us each and every single one of us, Lord, that we are able to have times where we go in with you to deal with our pride, to deal with our fears, to deal with our just the harms and things that have come into our lives, to deal with the sins of our lives and to hear your Spirit and have your Spirit work on us with the accuracy of the Word of God. To build us up in private times, Lord, so that we are able to stand in public, to stand for you, to reach people, touch people, proclaim the year of the Lord to people. Lord, that you would build your kingdom through us as individuals and as a church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.